In your bulletin, you'll find a sermon outline, which is almost always simply the text of a passage of Scripture, we give that to you so you can kind of circle things and put question marks by things and underline things and take notes for your spouse and, you know, all that stuff, and then put the best stuff in your spouse's Bible or your Bible, as the case may be, all right? So that's why we give you all that paper, so you got hopefully a bit of space to take some notes. I might mention a few passages that are not there. I'm not sure about that, but you can write those down. We encourage you to always read everything we give to you, any passage, any verse we give to you. Take it home. Read it in the flow of thought. Read it in context. Context is always the best guide for accurately understanding any verse you might be reading in the Bible or passage. We are in the book of Romans, and if you have a favorite version, you can certainly turn there. The main portion is in your bulletin, and we'll go through that together. That's the New American Standard Version, but again, if you have a favorite version, feel free to turn there. All right, so the opening question is, what's your game plan when it comes to a person claiming to be a brother or sister, and they harm you? They slight you. They sin against you in some way. They might seem even mean-spirited about it, possibly. A person claiming to be a brother, claiming to be a sister. We take folks at face value here, and so we'll just call them a brother or sister for the sake of this sermon. Got a brother, got a sister, part of the body, they harm you in some way. What's your game plan for your knee-jerk reaction to that? That's the big idea today, the big question today. Next question. If that brother or sister is shortly thereafter blessed or honored, what's your game plan for that? And shortly thereafter, if that brother or sister is humbled in some way, you know, they got what's coming to them, defriended by a bunch of people, whatever, okay, what's your game plan for that? Got to set a game plan, because we want to work inside the core of our being a right plan that we might have the right response. What does the Bible say about these scenarios? Let me ask you this, at the very front end of this thing, why do we do what we do? On any given day, in any given circumstance, why do we do what we do? Every plan, every thought, every action is a response to, what's the word? Grace. We're looking at how to respond to grace. When we say the word grace, we're talking about the grace of God shown to us. We don't deserve His love. Grace is love bestowed upon us that we don't in any way deserve. He chooses, we don't know why, He chooses to love us and value us very highly and bless us. Why does He do that? Another sermon. Just right now, He does. And so how do we respond to that grace? Glad you asked. We're starting every sermon in this little series this way. So open up, if you would, to how to respond to grace, your sermon guide. And a number one response to God's grace, which in the book of Romans, He has just pounded the fact that we have flipped God off, we've done our own thing, we've cursed God, quite frankly, and God has come and died on a cross in our place, taking the penalty of our sin on His body on that cross, offering us the gift of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What an amazing transaction. All of our sin completely forgiven. From the time we were conceived to the time we die, every act, when we say sin, every act of rebellion against God's laws, completely forgiven in one act in the cross, and all the good stuff that Jesus ever did, which is everything He did, imputed to our account. We're made as righteous as God is righteous. The Bible says He made Him who knew no sin, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, to become sin in our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ? Are you kidding me? That's the word justification. Made righteous. And that's a gift that God gives to us. Not only that, he's indwelt us. If we've trusted Christ, he's adopted us into his family. He's secured us in grace, and he's grafted us into his eternal plan. These and other concepts of grace are in Romans chapters 1 through 11. And so Paul just breaks it. Paul's the writer of this letter under the Spirit of God, just breaks out in verse 33 of chapter 11 with just a number of words of just sheer praise. And he says this, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment and unfathomable his ways." In other words, his ways towards us who flipped him off, rebellious to him, the king, the creator, flipping him off, worshiping and serving everything he's made and not him. And God still comes down, gets our attention, saves us, and brings us into his family and blesses us with these great gifts of salvation. All right? So what's our response? Worship, number one. And everything we do is lived out of a life of worship. That's why I say, why do we do what we do? All day long, we're practicing the presence of God. All day long, we are worshiping, no matter what else we do. While we're doing that, God is present, and we are worshiping God. And that's true when you're squabbling with your wife, and that's true when you're on the assembly line, and that's true when you're in traffic, and that's true, by the way, if you're a guest here, we love you. Love you on the roads as well. You know, we just love you, okay? Just love you all the time, okay? You know, no matter what's going on, we love you. And but why? Because we're worshiping God, and we're recipients of his grace, okay? So number one is worship. Number two, we submit our bodies to God. What's a reasonable response? Not to gain salvation. It's a gift of God when we trust Christ, period. And so we get, God, you got everything. Well, everything that I am is yours. This is your body. You made it to inhabit. So you yourself can inhabit it, and I can inhabit. You know, my whole body is yours. My eyes, my tongue, everything is yours. Number three, we submit our minds to God. Why? So that our bodies are submitted to God. God, guide me with my thought life. And central to that is that we are one body in Christ. That arrogant mindset, that thing in America where, you know, it's the John Wayne, the self-made man, he don't need no... Forget the Tonto and what's the Lone Ranger and Tonto. The Lone Ranger's got Tonto. What a wimp. Yeah, we want the guy that's just Rambo. I mean, he's just totally, he don't need nobody else. That's the epitome of the American male dream. Because we are fallen and messed up big time. That's wrong thinking. God's thinking is, no, we are created for one another. Okay? So that's just a messed up, if that's you, and that's me by nature. That's a messed up, deranged way of thinking. I know it's big time in the movies. It's deranged. Okay, listen to me. It's deranged. All right? It's a myth. We are created for one another. And that's verses 3 through 5. Look at that. Individually, we are one body. We're members of one another, united to Christ. Okay, and we need one another. Next thing we do because of that is we submit our abilities to God. God, guide me with my abilities to be a blessing to other people, whatever my abilities are. And that's verse 6 through 8. And then number 5, we love as we have been loved. We love without play acting. We truly value other people. Therefore, we hate evil. We cling to what is good because evil harms people, so we hate it. Verse 10, therefore, we are lovingly affectionate. We went through that. That's a better word than devote. According to the Greek, we are lovingly affectionate to one another in brotherly love. By the way, right there in verses 9 and 10, three of the four major words for love in Greek are used. Agape, which is a chosen love. Again, these overlap, and they're not. But anyway, agape is just this chosen love no matter what. Phileos is a brotherly kind of a love. And storge is a family kind of affectionate kind of love. Those three words are used in verses 10 and 11, even though you don't see them in English, all right? So we are called to do that. The one, eros, erotic love, and that's not part of the body of Christ, but it's definitely part of marriage, okay? So those three words are used, and we're called to not just value each other, but to live life in such a way where even the affections for one another are developing and growing. Been through that. We give preference to one another in honor. Why? Because we are living where God's given preference to us. Verse 11, We are diligent in serving the Lord in this way. Verse 12, we're rejoicing in hope no matter what's going south in our lives. We know we have eternity with God, and all the promises of God are yes in Christ. Next, we're persevering in tribulation, standing strong no matter what's happening. We know God's using it for good. Went through that. We're devoted to prayer, therefore, walking with God. Next, we're sharing in the needs of the saints. Went through this last week, where your needs are my needs in a perfect church. And then we are practicing hospitality, which is literally in the Greek, pursuing the love of strangers. Is that your life? That my life? That's a response to grace. And so verse 14 is where we pick it up today. So got to run and start on this thing. And I believe because we're in kind of the one another section, I think what's going on is in verse 14, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. I think that's referring to believers with believers. I think that's kind of an in the church thing. And turn your attention down to verse 17 and following. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone, etc. The whole verse 17 and following is about our relationship with people that really want to hurt us. I mean, these are people that don't trust Christ and they want to do us in. And we're going to talk about that not today, hopefully next time. All right? But today I want to keep it kind of in the body because I think that's the section that we're in. All right? So bless those who pursue you. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Bless them, don't curse them. Second of all, rejoice with that guy and anybody else that is rejoicing in the body, and weep with that guy and anybody else who's weeping in the body. And this applies to lost people too, but this is primarily what we're going to talk about in the body today. Verse 16, be of the same mind toward one another. In other words, don't get hot, lofty-minded where you're excluding certain people from your circle of friends because you're better than them. Associate with the people that you think are lowly. Don't be a smart aleck. Don't be wise in your own estimation. Don't put yourself above other people. That's stupid, okay? All right, that's showing ignorance. All right, so that's the section we're looking at today, verse 14 and following. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Let's look at that, some of these, the words in this thing. Verse 14 of Romans chapter 12. Bless is eulogeo, from which we get eulogy. Okay, you know, what in a eulogy, you don't blast the guy, you know, for the bad stuff that was in his life. In a eulogy at a funeral, you're usually figuring out good stuff that will, you know, be a blessing to those, the family members and those who care about the guy that's passed away. So bless, speak what is good or healthy for them. Those who persecute you. The Greek word is commonly translated persecute. It's the word for pursue. Those who pursue you, it kind of in the flow of thought, it's kind of got to be pursue you to do bad to you. You know, otherwise the rest of the command doesn't make any sense. So it could be pursuing you to do something good to you, but that wouldn't make sense in the context. So those who are pursuing you, probably to do something bad, to hurt you in some way, to prosecute a case against you that you're, you know, nobody else should like you either, and that whole thing, you know, or even to chase you away, to pursue in such a way to chase away. It's used in all those ways depending on context. So bless those who pursue you, we'll just say, you know, to do something bad to you. Bless and do not curse. Notice the word curse. Why would that be a command to believers in a body? I mean, look at y'all. This is a pretty squeaky clean looking group. Y'all are looking, you know, kind of saintly right now, okay? Nobody here would ever curse another brother or sister, right? No. But it's a command. And what's the implication? The implication is, yeah, we're pretty capable of that, aren't we? Hello? You know, we're pretty capable of cursing each other. Don't want to say it, but Romans chapter 7, reread that chapter, man. There's this fallen nature on the inside. Man, we get kind of irritated, kind of angry. It goes on for a while. And, I mean, no husband would ever curse his wife or vice versa. We know in a Christian family, we know that, right? Wayne, there's a little bit of nervousness right now. you know, a little bit of, and I'm trying to help them. I'm giving them the benefit of a doubt here, okay? You know, we know that would never happen. So we're capable of that. And notice the word pursue, in other words, to pursue somebody to do them harm in some way. Certainly that would never happen in a Christian marriage. It never happened in a Christian church, right? And yet we're commanded in regard to this. Implied is we're capable of cursing. Implied is we're capable of doing bad stuff to each other. Okay, should not, but that's the implication. All right, so let's just take it at face value. Bless, speak that which is healthy and good to those who harm you in the body. Bless them, do not curse them. So twice, it's bless them, bless them. With the word bless, it is, that's a request from the heart. God sees our heart. So we're making a request from the heart that God, this guy's giving me a hard time. This guy's gossiping about me. This guy's putting me down in front of other people. Whatever. Bless him, God. Do what's good for him. He's obviously hurting. So let's just make sure we track with this. Okay, so God, you're telling me right now you want me to bless a guy who's harming me. Are you kidding me? Would God say something like that to me? God, are you kidding? There's a guy that wants to harm me, actually pursuing me to harm me, more than once kind of implied there. You want me to speak what's good for that guy when he's speaking what's bad for me? Would God ask us to do something like that in marriage or church family? Really? Think about the context of this. The whole context of the book of Romans up until this place is what? Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, just kind of the general, 1 through 15, kind of the general introduction. Then he kind of introduces the gospel in two verses. Then with verse 18, just goes on into the, from verse 18 of chapter 1 all the way through to chapter 3, verse 20. It's just this litany of stuff that's in our life by our own nature. And part of that is, chapter 3, verse 10 and following, our lips are full of cursing and bitterness. Say it ain't so. But that's who we are left alone without God. Okay? That's just true of mankind. You know? And so what's the context of this? In the midst of that, verse 21, God comes, and this is grace, and saves us. What does that mean? He comes and he blesses us, the ones who are flipping him off. He comes and interrupts our lives and blesses us and continues to bless us and bless us and bless us to such a place where we trust him. Tell me that ain't right. That ain't right. That's grace. It's not justice. It's grace. And he continues to bless us in this life. And he's got blessings beyond belief in the next life. Now, if our Father, if our God treats us that way, and he's the Father of all of us who trust Christ, is he expecting his children to do the same thing? Yeah. Sounds insane, but yeah. It's grace. It's called grace. We're recipients of grace, so we show grace. What's the immediate context of this thing? Verses 3 through 5 of chapter 12, kind of setting this whole thing up. A right way of thinking is we are one body. We're one. It uses the human body illustration. So the illustration would be like this. Just say, this has never happened, but just say for me, okay? I'm working with Wayne on the boat outside or whatever. And just say I mess up because Wayne distracts me. And I whack my right hand, whacks my left thumb with a hammer, like really hard, okay? Now just say that were to happen, all right? Does my left hand, my left thumb, say to my right hand, curse you! I never want to see you again. I don't need you. And then does my right hand respond with, well, curse you, you're always in the way. You get out of here. I don't need you either. If I'm working with Wayne and I said that, first of all, there's all kinds of voices in my head, so he could believe it, okay? Anyway, so if I said that, what's he thinking about me? It's time to call Diane or one of the professionals in, Okay? He knows it's time for that anyway, but this is all the more evidence that it's time for that. Your human body can't survive that way. Do you do that in your human body? Does anybody here do that? One part of the body cursing another part of the body because one part of the body messed up? No, that's insanity. And he's saying, in context with this, it's just as insane in the body of Christ, if I didn't hit my thumb, but instead I hit Wayne on the noggin, for him to do that to me. Does that make sense? I don't know what's going on here. Y'all are looking at me like, who is this guy? All right, let me give you a couple passages, okay? Since you're not, look, two big ideas today. Why we want to bless each other, okay, when there's harm done, okay? One is we're blessed. Two is we're one. Okay, that's the two big ideas, okay? Why should I have a game plan to bless somebody the moment another brother or sister, the moment they harm me? Okay, two things I want you to remember today. Number one is you're blessed when you harm God. Number two is we're one. We're one body. Okay, everybody got that? Okay, so that's the big thinking throughout the passages that we want to look at today. They're in your bulletin. Flip, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. We're having a good time now, right? Everybody good? Okay. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. To sum up, now you've got another whole chapter following this chapter. That's standard preacher language, okay? But he wants to kind of summarize where he's gone so far. This is Peter writing. Paul is writing the book of Romans. Peter's writing this letter, both under the inspiration of God. We expect them to correspond with each other. And yeah, they do. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. To sum up, let all be harmonious. Russ, harmony. Every note's the same, right? No, man. If you listen to what's going on the keyboard here, Morgan has, I don't know, how many different notes at one time are being played here, you know. The chords, they're harmony. They work together. They're not dissonant. They're working together, but they're different notes, okay? Why is that? It works. It sounds beautiful. A beautiful body is diverse, but it gets the bigger picture and functions together. That's harmony. We see the bigger picture. So let everybody be harmonious. Next word, and again, this is in your outline. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Sympathetic. What is sympathetic? Because another word for that is understanding. Really, a great translation is suffering with. Suffering with. Suffer with each other is what he's saying. Alyssa just walked in, and she's my second favorite girl on the planet. My wife is first. This is she's putting her head down right now. A little bit embarrassed. This is my daughter. And, it's amazing how God gives us examples of stuff, teaching in the Scripture. And if you want an example of what it is to suffer with somebody else, I'd say look at her. She senses pain in anybody else. She wants to know about that pain, and she is deeply moved to pain herself. Little girl with Down syndrome, by the way. Beautiful young lady. And she has taught me so much, my hard-hearted nature, she has taught me so much about this word, sympathy, feeling what other people feel. She's a great example of that. And I would that I would be one-tenth the sympathy that she has. What about you? Where am I at? Where are you at? Or you just kind of stay aloof from other folks, and that's their issues, that's their problem. Or do we really feel what each other... So the word is suffer with. Next word, brotherly. That's philos and adelphos. That's philos is love. Adelphos is brother. So it's brotherly love, having brotherly love for one another. Command already in Romans chapter 12. So that's more than just the choice. That's the emotional part of that as well, of the spectrum of love. It's the emotional part along with the choice. Kind-hearted is like sympathetic, compassionate in nature. Humble in spirit. Philippians chapter 2 is one of the best passages on that. The Lord Jesus Christ putting others above himself. He didn't put himself down. That's not humility. He put others above himself. That's humility. How am I doing with verse 8? What would a marriage look like? Just follow in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. What would that be? What would a church look like? Just following 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 alone. And so he sets up the heart. Now with verse 9, with that heart, don't return evil for evil. Ever. Don't do that. Don't return insult for insult. Oh, yeah, that guy, you know, that brother, you know, man, he insulted me. He doesn't know I'm the insult king. I got his number. Don't do that. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but what is this? Is Peter agreeing with Paul, but giving a blessing instead? Same word, eulogeo. Don't do evil. Bless them instead. What is it to bless? Speak what is good and healthy and edifying for them, to help them out. Because cursing never does. Why, Peter, should we do that? For you were called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing. God's saying, I've blessed you, I am blessing you, and I want to bless you. And so help me out with this, God's saying. I don't want to bring discipline in your life. Help me out with this. Verse 10, for let him who means to love life and see good days. Anybody here want to love life? Want to see good days? I think that's all of us. Nothing wrong with that. If you want to love life and see good days, this is what you want to do in your marriage, in your family, in your church. Refrain your tongue from evil. Greek word is just bad. Don't do bad stuff with your tongue. And your lips from speaking guile or deceit. Here's the game plan. Turn away from evil or bad and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. That doesn't mean you just become hide from conflict. That's not at all what Scripture teaches. There's a lot of confrontation done in a humble, respectful, loving way in Scripture. But the point is, the pursuit is not punishment or evil, but it's peace. It's true harmony. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. The context is what? Those doing the right or righteous thing in the midst of being harmed. His ears attend to their prayer. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Context, in the midst of evil being done to them. Here in the one another in the body of Christ. God's sounding pretty serious. You say, well, what kind of words how do we bless? You know, what kind of words do we use in the midst of this? Ephesians, this is not in your outline, so just jot it down. Ephesians 4:29, great verse for everybody to memorize for marriage and for family. Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. The word is rot, no rotten word. No, it's like a fruit rotting, you know, just a word that just, it decays. It produces rottenness. Just don't let a bad word come out of your mouth. That's a choice that we make. But only, that's a really important word, only such a word as is good for edification. What's edification? That's building. If you're a construction person, your job is construction or building. And so we look at each other as a work in progress. Is this word I'm fixing to say, or this sentence, or this paragraph, or whatever, is this going to be good to build this person in their walk with Christ? That's the question. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment. And things change from moment to moment. You discern what's going to truly be helpful for this person, what's going to be truly be edifying for this person, versus what's just going to overwhelm them, okay? So you're discerning, prayerfully discerning, what is truly going to build them up according to this moment, according to their need right now at this moment, that it might impart grace, there's that word, to the one who hears. It's not about justice. It's not about saying, wait, they said this, so justice what happened. I say this back to them. That's not part of the Christian thinking at all. in marriage, in church, in any way. So Ephesians 4:29, let no rotten word come out of your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it might impart grace to the one who hears. That's a great word for business meetings. Our business meetings are great, by the way, but we got some interesting business coming up. It's a great word for business meetings. It's a great word for life groups. It's a great word for family. It's a great word for all of our relationships. It always applies. It's the same as bless those who are harming you. Why do we bless? Because we are blessed and because we are one. Back to our text in Romans. Romans chapter 12 and verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and don't curse. Everybody good with that? Next one. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep for those who weep. That guy comes along, and now we see him a day or two later. He is rejoicing, or he is crying. What's our response to that? God's blessed him. You know, he got what's coming to him if he's crying or if he's rejoicing. It's like, ugh. What's going on? You know, I want bad to happen to that guy. I know I can't do it, but I sure like to see God bring him. You know, God like to, you know, see God lower this guy a little bit, right? Everybody's so innocent looking today. Wow. Nobody ever has that issue, right? I know 100% of us have this issue. When does somebody, this is 100% of us, so, you know, look at me however you want to look at me. I don't want to make you self-conscious or something, but, you know, 100% of us have this issue. If there's some guy I don't like and he is honored, there's just something going, he's honored and I'm not. He gets the promotion. He gets the accolades in front of the church. He gets, you know, whatever it is, you know, and you're just, what is that on the, it's called the sin nature. You know, and so that's us by our fallen nature, but there's a nobility on the inside that can get the upper hand by the Spirit of God and by the will of the conviction, and we go, that's just evil. I'm going to, if that guy's being rewarded, I'm trusting God that somehow this is going to be used for his good to grow him, to either save him or to grow him in Christ-likeness. Amen? That's called, what's that word? What's the big word? Oh, yeah, faith. That's called trusting God and giving judgment to God. We'll talk about that hopefully next week, okay, in the passage upcoming, all right? So here's a passage for us. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. I'm going to apply this especially to the church and Christian marriage. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 24, we have these words. And this passage kind of covers this point and verse 16 as well. Verse 15 and verse 16. It's a great parallel passage. Book of 1 Corinthians and chapter 12. Here's the deal. Here's what Paul says. Verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. God has so composed the body. Okay, so look around. Why is that other member here? God has so composed the body, okay? That means the universal body. That means the local bodies as a picture of the universal body of Christ, okay? So there are certain people that are here. You're kind of going, now, I don't know about you. In this church, I mean, really honestly, I think about all of us like each other probably a lot. I mean, just to be honest, if you're a guest here, this sounds like I'm lying to you, but like I really honestly, I like everybody in this church, like everybody. Does that sound like I'm lying? I mean, I really do, okay? I'm glad every single person we have in this, as members of this church, are members of this church. Like, I like everybody, okay? We're just a really blessed church. But just say that wasn't the case. And that guy comes in, he's just an irritant. He's just, everything I see, he's just the opposite. He just doesn't get it. Just say that guy existed. And fortunately, right now, he doesn't, but just say he did. If you're that guy, don't join, by the way. No. Join, we want to bring you along. Okay. All right, so God has so composed the body. So if that guy joins, that's God's doing, that we trust the sovereignty of God, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked. Now I want you to check out that phrase. God gives more abundant honor to that guy than to me. Well, who's that guy? The guy that lacked. The guy that lacked what? The guy that lacked honor in our opinion. You know, that nobody. That guy we don't need, that irrelevant guy. Why is he irrelevant? Because he disagrees with me. He doesn't get it the way I get it. Okay, that guy. Okay, the guy we kind of want to keep in the back. That guy. What's the passage say? Am I reading this right? God gives more abundant honor to that guy than to me who's a, I'm a mouthpiece in this church. Are you kidding me? I got some clout here. If I'm reading the passage right, that guy's got more honor than I do. In God's opinion. Am I reading it right? Now, see, now they're lighting up, Wayne. They're like, yeah, that's right, okay? If that's you, that's you. You fit the bill, okay? I mean, that's what he's saying. So God's composed the body. So he brings the members here, puts them together, giving more abundant honor to the guy that's a nobody and that's irrelevant, and that we want to get out of the way because we don't need that guy. That guy has more honor than me. Why? Why, God, you do it that way? Why are you telling me this? I don't want to hear this. Next verse. That there should be no division in the body. In other words, that guy is a part of this body just as much as everybody else is. No division in the body. But that the same, not just that, but the same members have the same care. I'm sorry, the members have the same care for each other. We care about that guy, the nobody, as much as we care about the mouthpiece guy, okay? The esteemed guy, you know, the guy who can sing or whatever, you know. No division in the body. And so how's this lived out? Here's our passage in Romans. I read all that to set up the passage in Romans. Verse 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. That's our passage back in Romans. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So, the right hand hits the left thumb with a hammer, and later on, the right hand is honored to be a hand model or something. The thumb is rejoicing that this guy is being honored. Hello? If one part of the body is honored, the whole body is honored. If I become a hand model, Russ, I don't know where that came from. That's honestly, that's like stupid, you know. But just, I'm just saying, okay? It's not just my hand, it's I want my whole body, you know, it's my, all of me is honored, okay? And so that's true. If the guy that is irrelevant is honored in this body, the rest of us are going, yes! Amen? That's what he's saying. That's the plan, okay? And then he just yells at him in verse 27, the next verse. You are Christ's body. He's going, you got to get this. Just like you have a human body, you are together that God has assembled. You're Christ's body and you're individually members of it. And as insane as it would be for my right hand to yell at my left thumb or my left thumb to yell back at my right hand, it's just that insane for me to yell at you or to despise you or to say I don't need you. Chuck, am I reading this right? Anybody else? Am I reading this right? Howard, you know, we got it. Are we nailing this? Fuzz? You know, that's where we are. And I'm not calling their names because they're messing up. They're good examples of this. Honestly, I mean, they're really, 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 almost everybody here is. But in good preaching, there is affirmation, and this is mostly affirmation to this group. But there's also exhortation, and I'm certainly exhorting myself. And so any names mentioned here today are not, I'm not singling them out because they're messing up. Quite frankly, every name I've mentioned today are good examples of what we're talking about. But all of us certainly can grow. All right? So back to our passage. Let me throw out Romans and just to tie this together because this is the beginning of the passage we're looking at. So we're back in Romans 12. We're not going to go anywhere else. We're back in Romans 12. Let me throw this out to you. Back in Romans 12, and you got this on the front page of your outline. let's see if we can put it together from here. He's already said this. And so back in Romans 12, verse 1, we present our bodies. Verse 2, we want to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. How is our mind, how do we want our mind to be transformed according to God? Verse 3, through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. What's the root problem, really? If there's a guy in the body I don't need, because he just doesn't disagree, he doesn't agree with me and he's a nobody, what does he know? What's the root of that? I'm thinking of myself more highly than I ought to think. That's the root. Which is called pride. Arrogance. That's the root. If there's people I don't need them because I'm thinking of myself more highly than I ought to think. Everybody agree with that? What are you saying back in Romans 12? Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Think is to have sound judgment. Don't be an idiot. Think soundly. As God has given to you a measure of faith. In other words, God's given you the ability to trust Him on this one, even though all of America says it's wrong. And then He says this, just as we have many members in one body, I think we've read that before. Yeah, Peter talks about that, and Paul in another place talks about that, and there's a number of other places in the Bible. Just as we have many members in one body, speaking of a human body, we have all, you know, we have hands and thumbs and all that, you know, we have many members in one body. All the members don't have the same function. They have different, you know, different body parts do different things. Here's the point. We who are many, the body of Christ, are one body in Christ. That's the big idea. We're one body, and we're individually members of one another. Back to the illustration, it is stupid for my left thumb to yell at my right hand, and it's stupid for my right hand to yell at my left thumb, and it's idiotic for us to yell at, despise, put down, or say we don't need each other, especially the person who's less honored. Why? Because they're more honored than you are in God's eyes. We good? Is this fun? Everybody good? Wow. In verse 16, just a summary. I'm going to start with verse 14. We're going to bring this thing to a close right here. Verse 14 again. Bless those, and we're going to apply this to the body. This is true outside the body too, by the way, in the world. We'll talk about that next week. Bless those who pursue you to do damage to you. Bless them. Do not curse them. Next. Rejoice with that guy when he rejoices. Weep with that pursuer when he weeps. Wow. Why? Because we've been blessed, and we are being blessed, and because we're one. He's a body part. Verse 16, be of the same mind toward one another. That means in our mindset, and we're talking about the strategy, we have that plan toward every person in here. Same plan, to bless. I'm here to bless and help and speak what is good for edifying. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty or lofty in mind. We just read that earlier in chapter 12 of Romans. Associate with the lowly, the less honored. Why? Because they're more honored in God's eyes. Associate, in other words, bring them into your circle of friends. Don't exclude them. Don't be wise in your own estimation. What does that mean? Don't be an arrogant idiot. Are we good? Okay? Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you for the privilege to be able to work through this together. Father, pray that you would guide us in our growing understanding of your word as it applies to our lives of worship of you and our lives together as we do this thing called the church together, and for the marriages here and families here, as we do this thing called marriage and family. We want to do it by your design, We want to have your plan, your vision, your strategy. We want to love life and see good days together. And so guide us regarding our arrogance and regarding faith in your way of doing life. Thank you, Father, for grace where we have radically blown it through the years. And give you thanks, Father, for your grace, very evident in this body. This body does, unless I'm missing something, very well at this. And I'm impressed, Father. They do very well. But I can grow, and we can grow. And so grow us, we pray. Thank you, Father, for the privilege to trust Christ as Savior and Lord every day and to focus on grace. In Jesus' name, amen. And that is the good news. I want to make sure if you haven't caught it yet, here's the good news. God created you. God loves you. Everybody, no matter what you've done. Bad news is you've rebelled against God. God's given us commandments. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love others as you love yourself. You've blown that big time. I have too. And the Ten Commandments and many other commandments, okay? We're serial sinners, rebellious against the King who's created us. That's sin. That's bad news. That separates us from God. Really, 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 really good news is Jesus Christ, God and humanist, came to this planet and went to a cross purposely to pay the penalty of every sin you've ever committed, every sin I've ever committed. Died, rose again 3 days later. He's alive today, and here's the choice. The choice is we can trust Christ for the gift of justification, the gift of eternal life by God's grace. And put away any attempt to merit anything with God, we simply trust Christ. Let's pray together one more time if we could. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to this planet, taking our sins on your body on that cross, paying the price in full, dying in our place, rising again, showing that you're victorious over sin and death, ascending into heaven 40 days later. You are alive today. You offer every person here the gift of eternal life. And if you've not said these words to him from the depth of your heart, this is the time to do it. Lord Jesus, I trust you for the gift of eternal life. Out of thankfulness, I want to turn from rebellion. I want to get to know you better. I want to follow you. And I trust your word as that which brings a love of life and good days along with an incredible eternity because of the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless each one of you. God make you a blessing.